So, flip over to Colossians chapter 2, and we'll get there in a minute, but before we read the passage, I want to set it up a little bit, because I struggled with this passage this week, because normally the passage that we look, whatever passage we look at, it tends to be a positive thing, so it takes us in a positive direction, and this passage, just by you'll see when we get into it, the language he uses, it's a negative passage, not in a bad way, but it's saying a don't do this thing, and that's basically the whole of it. There's not really a do this, it's a don't do this. So I struggled with, okay, how do we approach this? And the more I looked at it, the more I saw that, okay, this passage answers a question, a huge question that maybe we don't think about consciously a lot, but it ends up being the thing that impacts our life. It's underneath everything that we do and the way we see ourselves and the way we judge other people. And you know, I don't judge other people. We do. You do. It's the way we look at other people, the way that we... it even forms the basis for our relationship with God. It's a really big question, and it's a question that we get wrong a lot of times, and because we don't think about it consciously most of the time, we just kind of go through life with an answer to this question forming the base of everything we do and the way we see ourselves and the way we relate to God and the way we relate to other people, that the problem is when that answer is wrong, then it messes up everything else that comes out of it. It would be like if you have a car that takes gasoline, as most of us do, and you put diesel in it. You don't see that, but you would see the results because everything would just get messed up. Our relationship with God kind of gets off kelter. We get farther away from Him sometimes when we think we should be closer. The way that we live gets out of sync. And so, what is this question? The question is, what makes me good? What makes me a good person? What makes me good and acceptable? Lovable. What makes me complete? What is it that makes me be a person of value? Someone who can hold my head up and say, I don't have to, bow down in condemnation before you. I'm a good person. I would hope that you could be as good as me someday. I'm happy with myself. What makes us good? What makes us be good people? What gives us value and dignity? What makes us be just? Or that there's a word in the Bible, and we'll look at it today. It'll be one of the words that I'll say over and over again, but it refers to this. It's what justifies us, what makes us just. That means good, acceptable, valuable. What makes you be a good person? And that's something, the answer to that, what makes me good, I look through life. I seek my goodness. I want to be good. I want to be a good person. I want to be thought of as a good person. So when we're talking to each other, what do I talk about? I talk about the good stuff I do. I talk about myself in a good light. You'd be hard-pressed to find a time when someone consciously, of their own volition, like talks about themselves in a bad way. I want to be thought of as good. I want to do things that make me look good. And if I do things that make me look good, I want other people to see those things and to know about those things, because I want to be good. I want to be thought of as a good person, someone with value, someone who's who's as good as I think I could be. So normally, the answer that we live off of, that we give to this question, what makes me good, is the good stuff that I do. The good stuff that I do makes me good. The bad stuff that I do makes me bad. And that seems to be a very logical answer, which is why I think most of the time we answer that question, what makes me a good person, and we don't even think about our answer to it, because we just assume it's the most logical answer. It's, well, what makes me good? It's the good stuff I do. And what makes me bad? It's the bad stuff I do. That is so simple that the smallest child could understand it. Why would we even talk about that? So the good stuff, when I help other people, and when I give money to people, and when I do good stuff for people, when I leave my bad habits behind, when I raise my kids better than you raise your kids, I don't think I do. I'm just saying that's something someone could think, right? When I'm a good parent, especially as compared to other parents, or good spouse as compared to other spouses, when I don't do the bad stuff and when I do the good stuff, when I when I can make the list of stuff that I've never done that, and I've never done that, and I've never done that, and that makes me good. And we even carry that into our relationship with God, the good stuff that I do, the how and the when and the how much of my religious tradition that I practice, that makes me good. That makes me a good person. So what are your good things? If you had to, you know, take the microphone and say, the reason I'm a good person, the reason you should think well of me is this, this, and this, what would, don't say them, just think them, what are they? What are the things that make you hold your head up and say, you know, not perfect, we all say that, right? I'm not perfect, but what's the things after the but? I'm not perfect, but I do this, that I'm a good person. We all have those things that make us good. And we take that idea of what makes me good is the good stuff that I do. We take that into our relationship with God. And here's how that works. I come to God to find goodness, to be accepted by Him, for Him to look at me and forgive me for the bad things I've done and to make me whole and to make me complete. I want to feel peace with God so that I know when I look in the mirror that we are okay and that He looks on me with favor and that He's okay with me. And someday when I stand before Him, it will be okay because I'm good in His sight. So we come to God looking for our goodness, looking to be made whole and complete. And we take our idea that we carry through life, good people do good things, bad people do bad things, what makes me good is the good stuff I do, so if I want to be better, I have to do more good things. That's just how it works. We bring that idea to our relationship with God, and so then we automatically assume, okay, if I do more religious stuff, if I do more of the stuff that's associated with God that they tell me to do at church, if I do more and if I do it in the right way and if I do it when I'm supposed to do it, and if the more of that that I do, the more that I practice the habits of my religious tradition. And this isn't just us. This is any religious tradition. Even people who don't worship the true God, even people who don't worship Jesus as God. We come to seek a relationship with God who says, if I do more of the stuff, then I'm going to be better. I'm going to be more accepted by Him. I will get closer to Him the more that I do because I'll be better. And so I feel better about myself the more that I do. The problem with our default answer to the question of what makes you good is, a lot of times it makes us do good stuff, but it's never enough. Many times the stuff that we do is good and it's necessary. It's even stuff that God says to do. I'm a good person. Why? I've never hit my wife. Well, that's actually a good thing, right? That's a good thing. I would be breaking a law and breaking God's law if I were to do that. So that's a good thing to be able to say I've never done that. But the good stuff we do, the bad stuff we don't do, our goodness, our works are never enough to make us complete before God. That's why no matter how much good stuff you do, you always feel like I need to do more because it's not enough. It's never enough. It doesn't make us whole or just or perfect or good before God or before other people, because in one bad action, I can undo my whole concept of how good I am. I can be a great father all day long, and then there's that one time at Sam's when I'm frustrated and we need to get home because I still have some work to do, and I'm like, eh! And then that undoes all my goodness. At least in my eyes, in my family's eyes, I'm not the good person that I thought I was. So the question persists, what makes me be good? What makes me be a good person? Look at Colossians 2, verse 16. The big idea that we're going to see here, and he says it in a very negative, I mean, it's not a do this, it's a don't do this kind of way, is that what you do doesn't make you acceptable to God, that we're not justified by our religious observations. Don't look for it there. That's what he's going to say. Look in verse 16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. Let no one pass judgment on you. Let no one judge you. And the no one there doesn't just include other people, like, who are you to judge me? You know, a little tattoo. Only God can judge me. Yeah, he will. That's serious. You will, but don't let no one judge you. Let no other person judge you. Don't judge yourself. No one should judge you, right? No. That includes yourself. Let no one judge you. Don't be judged by. Don't. What is judgment? What's he saying? Measuring your worth. Don't let your worth be measured by what you do. Don't let your worth, how much value you have, if you're good or not. Don't let it be measured by, don't let it be judged by you or by anybody else. Don't be judged by what you do. And he immediately goes to, not, he could go to all the good stuff that we do, but he goes immediately to religious observations, to doing religious stuff. So he says, don't let anyone pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. You read that, and the direct application is that these were, in all likelihood, mostly Gentile Christians, so people who did not grow up under the old law, the old covenant of God, and as they became Christians, they were brought into Christ, and then people came behind Paul, Jewish Christians came behind Paul and said, well, if you're going to be a Christian, you have to be a Jewish Christian. You have to observe all of the old law of Moses and then put Jesus on top of that. It's like a great big cake and then you put the cherry on top. So you got to be a good Jewish person and do all the Jewish stuff. That's a direct application from this. That's what he means when he says questions of food or drink or festival or new moon or Sabbath. He's talking about the Jewish customs of the Judaizers were coming in after Paul, who was preaching the gospel of Christ, and they were saying to these people who hadn't grown up under the law of Moses, you got to do the Jewish stuff too. You have to observe the law completely and be baptized into Christ. You got to do all of that. That's what it means to be a Christian. And so the direct application is don't let your observance of the Jewish law judge you. And you might say, well, that has no bearing on us now in our time. It might or it might not. There are strains of Christian religion that look to the Old Testament for justification. That's very prevalent. For example, the Seventh-day Adventist denomination or church. That looking to the old law and saying some of that is what justifies me, is what makes me good. But let's say that that's not your thing, that you don't look to the old law of Moses and say, what do I have to obey in that to be right before God? So then you could be tempted to look at this verse and say, well, probably doesn't apply to me. I think there's an inferred application, though. It's not just the direct application of don't let the Mosaic law be what you seek your justification before God with, because then if you look at what is he saying at a more abstract level, he's saying, don't let religious observance, don't be judged. Don't let your goodness be judged, how good of a person you are, how just you are before God. Don't be judged based on your religious observance, how well you obey. See, every religious tradition, whether it's a denomination or whatever, every religious tradition has certain beliefs and customs and traditions that develop over time that are particular to that tradition. And I'm going to talk in the abstract, but we've been around. We know what this means in concrete language. We've seen it. We've lived it. So, and some of the things that every religious tradition comes up with that are beliefs and customs and traditions, some of them are correct. So, some of them come directly from the words of God. Some of them are invented by men. And which ones are God and which ones are man-made traditions? That brings contentious debate into any religious tradition. But some are from God and some are from man. But what happens over time is that the religious tradition, just like in the Judaizers were doing here, our religious traditions that we're all part of end up putting more and more emphasis on practicing our traditions, those that come from God and those that are man-generated. And then what happens is we inevitably start, just like they did, putting a lot of our sense of value and worth and goodness. How good of a Christian am I? Well, how good do I practice the traditions that my church, that my tradition, this is who we are and this is what we do, and how good of a Christian I am depends on how well I observe those things. I do those things in the right way at the right time. That's what makes me right before God. It becomes the answer to the question, what makes me a good person? It's the answer of how we judge other people. It's not other things. It's not maybe gospel-related things. Instead, it's do you do these things in this way, then you're a good Christian. If you don't do these things in this way, then you're not a good Christian. I'm talking in the abstract because you could put any Christian type religion in this this thing and say, okay, what are the traditions that identify this religion? And inevitably, those are the traditions that are used to judge not just those on the inside, but those on the outside. In other words, it's what gives us our worth. It gives us our goodness, how well we stick to those traditions. It becomes what we judge ourselves on. And he says, don't let anyone pass judgment on you by how well you, I'm going to paraphrase, but the inferred application, when I read this, is by how well you adhere to religious traditions. Some probably man-made, because of these things that he mentions with the law. Some of them were things that people had put around God's law, but some of them were actually God's law, what God had said. This is what you do if you're in a covenant relationship with me under the old law. Don't be judged by that. Why? Because if we're not supposed to be judged by that, it's because they can't justify us. The good stuff that we do, even how well we practice the customs and habits of our religious tradition, even the things that come directly from the Bible, we should do that. It doesn't justify us. Doesn't make us right before God. Doesn't make us be good or bad people, neither in our own eyes nor in God's eyes. That's why he says, don't be judged by that. Look a little farther in the text to verse 20. Because if you say, well, I'm not sure that is what he's saying, and I'm not sure that applies to me or to us, I think he just goes down through verse 20 through 22, and 20 through 22, and just goes at it and says, these things do not justify you. If you're in Christ, this is not what makes you right. It's not what makes you good. Look at verse 20. If with Christ you died... So stop there. I know it's in the middle of a sentence. We'll come back and finish it out. You died to the elemental spirits of the world. If in Christ you died, so he's referencing there, in Christ, you what we talked about before, you die and you're raised to life again. You become a new person. Christians, he's talking to Christians when he writes this, so he's saying, you've died. Remember, I just talked about that you were risen with God, with Christ, and you died with Christ. Okay, so if you died, and what was one of the things we died to? You died to the elemental spirits of this world, or the principles, the elemental principles of this world. If you died to that, so you say, well, what are the elemental principles of this world? He's talked about a little, just a few verses before, about dying to our flesh, dying, and part of that is dying to our need to seek our own kingdom, and there's a lot that we died to, but in this context, he's talking about the principle of the world, which says, you are what you do. You're as good as the good stuff that you do. You're as bad as the bad stuff that you do. That's in the context what he's talking about. He's talking about the elemental principle of the world, which is you are what you do. Your worth comes from how good of stuff that you do. And he's saying, in Christ, we died to that system. We died to the system of you're as good as the good stuff that you do. You can't find your value in the good stuff you do. And then he goes on, he says, so then if you died to that, why, as if you were still alive in the world, because see, in the world, it's not just a Christian thing to say, I'm as good as the good stuff that I do. Why are you a good person? Well, I go to church on Sundays, and I don't get drunk, and I, whatever your list is, I don't do this and this, and I do this, all the other stuff. That's what makes me a good person. That's not a Christian thing. That's a human thing. Even if we filled this room up with the most pagan, non-Christian people, everyone has their system. Everyone has their system of what makes me better than you, what makes me be a good person. Even one of the most fascinating things is in the prison system. There's a system of what makes me be better than you. And we're talking people who are incarcerated for doing really bad stuff. And if you're not incarcerated for doing really bad stuff, which you're not this morning because you're here, but if you're not, like we aren't, you look at that and our immediate instinct is you're all bad because you've all done bad stuff and you've equally bad. Inside, though, there's a system. Some things are worse than others. And if you don't do the worst things, you do some of the better things, you're better than the ones who have done the worser things. I know that's wrong, but you know what I'm saying. Everyone in the world has this system. That's why it's an elemental principle of the world. It's a system of my actions make me good or my actions make me bad. How good I am depends on how well I behave. So if I treat people well and if I give to others and if I work well and if I have achieved this thing in life, I have these letters that I can put after my name. I've accumulated these possessions. I'm not like that other person. I'm not like this other person. This is a horribly... should I say it or not? I started, so. Ever been, okay, just men who are married. Ever been in a conversation with your wife and you feel like you're not being given your share of respect that you deserve? And have you ever said something along the lines, not these exact words, but something along the lines of, you don't know how lucky you are that I'm the one wearing the ring that you gave me? Yeah, that's a horrible thing to insinuate. And you get shot down quickly afterwards. But it's what makes us think that we're good. I'm not as bad as that other guy. Could be a lot worse. I'm actually a pretty good person. That's how the world thinks. And then look at what he says. If with Christ you died to this elemental principle or spirits of the world, why is if you were still alive in the world? So as if you were not died with, haven't died with Christ, why do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. He's saying these are the rules that the world puts on us when we're in the world. Good people don't do this, good people don't do that. Even non-Christians have a system of rules of what good and bad people do and don't do. And Christians especially have systems of this is what good people do and this is what bad people do. So why do you submit to that? And here's the deal. When he says human, when he talks about human rules and says, why are you submitting to that? He's not just saying, why are you seeking your justification, seeking to be a good person because of what you do? He's not just saying that. He's saying, I think, for the ones that don't come from God, why do you even do them? That's the word submit. Why do you submit to regulations that don't come from God? Why do you do things because people say you're a better person if you do them when that thing doesn't come from God? Why do you let yourself be controlled by governed by man-made rules because it makes you look better in the eyes of other people and it doesn't cause any waves, so I might as well just submit to that and go along with it. He's saying, why do you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you submit to principles like don't, it's the doing, it's the stuff we do. Why would you submit to that? And then continuing in verse 22, referring to things that perish as they are used. He's saying they're temporary. They don't make you good. They can't make you good permanently. You can't be justified by what you do. We could have started here saying it doesn't work. It doesn't work because one bad action erases all the good stuff that you did. And the good stuff that you do doesn't carry on. It doesn't stick. It doesn't last. It doesn't, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It's not enough. It's not enough to make a person good. You can't be justified by your actions. That's what he's saying. And then he tells us why it doesn't work and why they can't make us good. Referring to things that all perish as they are used according to human precepts and teachings. That's the problem. That is the root of the problem. That's why he says in verse 16, don't let anybody judge you on how well you adhere to these religious things that are being put on top of you. And then he goes through this and, you know, they're from the world and the system, finding your value in this. And then he ends with, according to human precepts and teachings. That's the problem. It's the problem with being made right, being made good by what we do is humans are the ones to decide what that list is. That's why every church has a different list of what you have to do to be good and to be acceptable. That's why humans outside of the church have their own list, and it's different. In some families, it's perfectly okay to do these things. In other families, no, that's what bad people do, but this family has stuff you can't do. Everybody is different. They're human systems. It's not God's system. It's not the system that comes from God that God says, this is how you are made right. These systems, these being found good by what I do, whether your system comes from God, from the Bible, from your life, it's you making up, I have to do these things, that these things make me a good person. It can't make us good. That's what Paul is saying. What can it do? It can't make us good. It creates pride. Me thinking that I'm good because of what I do creates pride. It does that really well. It can't make me actually be better or be justified before God or anyone else, but it does create pride in me. It creates the pride of feeling superior because I'm fulfilling my list better than you're fulfilling my list, probably because you have a different list that you're fulfilling better and you feel superior because you're fulfilling your list better than I'm fulfilling your list, but I feel better than you. It creates the pride of sovereignty. I'm deciding what makes me good and what makes you bad. It creates the pride of being autosufficient because I'm the one who does the stuff. It's my strength that is making me do the good stuff that makes me better. And it creates pride of condemnation. You know when you feel condemnation? That's pride. It's pride because it's you telling yourself, I'm not good because I haven't done enough. I know I'm better. I should be better. Condemnation comes from pride. So then the question that we started with continues. It's still there. What makes me good? He doesn't answer it in this section. It's kind of frustrating. What makes me be a good person? What gives me value, at least before God? And if I have value before God, then I have value before other people and at least before myself. So what gives us value? Look at verse 16. How does it start? Therefore, he ties it into the last section. What's the last section? The last section is, well, look up in verse, I mean, not look up at me, look up in the text, higher in the verses of the text. In verse 9, he gives us the answer. He tells us what justifies us, what makes us good. In verse 9, for in him, in Christ, the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. Jesus is God, and you have been filled in him, or made complete in him. You've been made complete in Christ. Complete in Christ. You're made complete. You're made acceptable. You're made beloved to the Father. You're forgiven. You're made just. You're justified. You're made perfect in the eyes of God. You're complete in Christ. Therefore, don't let people judge your value based on what you do. Should you do good stuff? Of course you should. When we're done with this section, as you could tell today, we're not going to finish this section, but when we're done with this section, look forward to chapter 3. People who are in Christ live like Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. Of course, we're supposed to do good stuff. But he says, don't let yourself be judged, your value be judged based on what you do. Because if you are in Christ, you're made complete. You're made complete. You're justified. You are a good person. Not just good. That's a bad word. That's not good enough. You're perfect in God's eyes. If you're in Christ, you are complete. In Christ, we die to the system of this world that says you are what you do, and our goodness comes from what Christ did on the cross when, in our place, he lived a perfect life and died an undeserved death and was risen from the dead through the power of the Father. And we receive his goodness when we are in him. So that's the right answer to the question, what makes you a good person? It's are you in Christ? Are you a good person? Are you in Christ? That's what it is. And if you are in Christ, what makes you a good person? Not what you do, it's that you're in him, that you are in Christ. So what should we do? What's the application from this? I think the application must be we have to abandon our search of our goodness, our justice, our perfection in religious observations, in observing the religious things that we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to abandon doing the good stuff, but we're supposed to abandon finding our goodness in the doing of the good stuff. And so if you're not a Christian, if you've never come to Jesus and given yourself to him, you have to, your relationship with God starts with you abandoning the idea that you can do enough good stuff that you'll be okay with God. You can't come to church enough times. You can't stop enough bad stuff. You can't be good enough with your family and a good enough family person. You can't do enough good things for people who need good stuff to be right before God. That's what this is saying. You have to come to Jesus and be found in Christ, which means you have to give yourself to him. You have to receive Jesus. You have to receive the perfection and the forgiveness that is in him. You have to surrender to him. You have to repent and be baptized and make him the Lord of your life and your Savior. And when you do that in an instant, You become God's perfection. You become so much better than good. You become justified. So if you haven't made that decision, what would stop you from doing it? And in this community, when you say, I'm ready, nothing is stopping me, tell someone. You can repent and you can be baptized. If you are a Christian, so you made that decision. This is directly for you. I think this verse is a call for us to repent as well. Repent and then accept something. It's a call for us to repent of feeling that we're good people because we do good things, that we're good people because we practice the right things in the right way, that that makes us good. To repent of judging other people and feeling superior to them because they do stuff that I don't do and I do stuff that they don't do. It is a call for us to repent of finding our goodness in what we do. And it's a call for us to grab on to this idea that if I'm in Christ, that's what makes me good. And I'm perfect before the Father because I'm in Him, not because of what I do. I am complete in Christ. I'm complete in Christ. That is what makes me right before the Father. Why don't we stand? We'll pray and then we will sing together. God, we thank you because you are good. We thank you, God, because you love us. We thank you, God, because you have patience with us. And even though our human tendency is to drop back into our default mode of finding our justification and our goodness in what we do, and we always go back to that. Thank you for moments like today when you remind us once again that by being in you, we're made your perfection. Our goodness comes from the perfection of Jesus, not our own goodness. And that is such a comforting thought and such a good, loving thought, and it takes away our condemnation. And you are so good, God, to give us that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.